The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 193. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Rupert's chum, Ryan Clements.
Hello.
How's that one?
It's okay.
I'm running out of good ones. We should decide on a good one for you.
You've had a bunch of classics.
All right. So. He only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
Metal Gear.
And the Tech Tower. Scott Lowe.
Not a new one this week?
No, that's your new one.
Okay.
We're retiring Gear God because it was inflammatory to the real Gear God, Metal Gear, Mr. Kojima. And now you're the Tech Tower. You're not even that tall, though. But you do have a...
About the same height.
You have a cylinder-esque... You're a bean pole.
I'm very cylindrical.
You're a bean pole. Yeah, that's what I said.
I don't know if I would have classified Scott Lowe as the same height as Greg Miller.
That's what he said. I didn't.
Greg Miller is a tall man.
Yeah, everybody. Let's get that on the table too. We have a lot to talk about, but the number one thing we should talk about this week is that yes, I'm very tall, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, very tall.
And the number one thing I get told when I meet people is, "Oh my God, you're taller than I thought you'd be." And I understand. It's understandable because I like taking photos with fans and friends and everybody else. And when I do that though, I put my arm around people usually and lean my head down.
Right.
So I always look like I'm the height of whoever. I am about 7 or 8 feet tall.
He's a juggernaut.
7 or 8, juggernaut. Give or take.
Yeah. All right, this has been a good episode. No, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be back. We had an awesome E3 show last one. If you didn't listen to the Podcast Beyond episode 192, go ahead. Of course, another big thank you to Mr. Yoshida, president of Sony Worldwide Studios, for joining us for that episode. Thank you so much, friends out there who listened to the show and tweeted at us and him. Remember, he's at YOSP. YOSP, and so many people tweeted that it was a great show and we had a good time and a lot of emails about it. Thank you so much. That means a lot to us. We were very, very proud of that show too. At least the first half. Very, very happy the first 45 minutes. The last half of Brian Miggles walking up and not being able to put together a sentence because we're so tired. Not great. But I'm excited to be back to full power today.
Yeah.
So let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Once again, these are from the man himself, Colin Moriarty. Mm. So the opinions reflected here. There might be a spin on this. This is the spin zone.
I'm ready.
Number one.
This is the heavy spin zone.
Take me to the spin zone.
In May 2011, physical games sold for a total of 743 million in the United States.
We're off to a good start.
This is a 14% year-over-year decline and is the lowest month of physical game sales since way back in October 2006. What could it mean?
I don't know.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
I think people are buying more digital stuff?
No.
You don't think so?
I think just people are buying less games, period.
Well, was there less good games, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of in the twilight years of the life cycle.
But that should mean that everybody has them. Everybody's got the console. It should be selling more. Here's what I'll tell you. I was at the GameStop the other day buying some stuff.
Tell me about GameStops. Tell me
and,
about it.
And there was a woman in front of me with her two kids, and the GameStop guy was trying to sell her on the new whatever power-up rewards card they have or whatever. And she listened for a while, and she's like, no, you know, we don't need it. Thanks. We live, you know, 20 miles from GameStop usually, so we don't come in all that often. And plus, we buy a lot of stuff off the Xbox Live. I was like, interesting. Like, you know, it's weird. Because the kids were like... 7 or 8, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know.
Did she say the Xbox Live?
She did say the Xbox
yes.
Live.
That's amazing.
She owns a PlayStation.
She has a Wii. It's one of the, you know, we're all insulated and we all, you know, cutting edge and like to waste our money on digital goods. So it's like, it's no shock when Colin drops $100 at home to pick up a bunch of t-shirts.
I can't get enough of those t-shirts and those other goods in home. I will say this, that I can't, even though I guess October 2006 was right before PlayStation 3 came out, Xbox was out for a year, Wii was about to come out. Jeez Louise, I hate that.
Yeah,
that
don't
noise.
Talk about
you,
it.
Oh, yeah, no one can hear.
We have a bad podcast room. Everybody knows this. And there's trouble afoot in the earphones.
But I refuse to believe that even with that said, and that those were October 2006 was probably a fairly weak time for games, too.
It was right after 9/11, too.
Yeah, it was right
never
after
forget,
9/11.
Colin.
Wow. I'm hard to believe.
It was 5 years,
forgot.
1 month after 9/11.
I'm gonna have to get back to you on that. I got to run some dates. Get off the bad computer.
In other words, there must have been weaker months than May. I mean, May wasn't that weak of a month anyway. Didn't L.A. Noire come out and stuff like that in May? So
is that right? God, it seems so long ago. Is that possible? That L.A. Noire was just in May.
Yeah, probably. I think so.
When did Portal come out? April.
April, I think. Okay. Yeah,
Portal was good.
BTW, we've talked about the awesome series of cartoons on the show long ago. I would like to say that there is a awesome noir where Ego Raptor, this Flash artist online, has done another one of his classic takes on LA Noir, and it's hysterical. Go look it up.
How can they find it? Ego Raptor, they put in?
His tag is EGO Raptor.
Okay.
Ego Raptor, but it's on YouTube, Newgrounds, the usual places to find Flash. Just go check it out. Awesome Noir or something. I don't know. It's got Noir in it. It's got Awesome in it.
Is it like Metal Gear Awesome guys?
It's the same dude. He's done awesome takes on so many different games.
I love the Call of Duty one. That was my favorite.
I still think the Gears of War one is one of his finest.
Oh.
Hop aboard the Cold Train, baby. And then rip
What's
opens in space
the,
time.
The Trauma Center one too, right?
Yeah.
Right. Zombie cancer! Yeah! Pew, pew, pew! Thank you all for joining us on this audio journey of things you might not have seen.
Go, this is a conversational podcast.
Now I agree, it is. And now I can tell you that I do sign off on Ego Raptor. Go get him.
Yeah.
Go get him, everybody.
Go get him.
Get that ass. Off my coffee here before I get to number two. There was some turmoil with the upcoming title, Batman Arkham City. Originally, Robin was confirmed to be in the game, but it appeared that only people who pre-ordered at Best Buy would have access to him. Rocksteady representatives have since confirmed that this isn't the case. Robin will be in the challenge maps for everybody who purchases the game, though early access to him will be given to those who pre-order at selected retailers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. End quotes.
End quotes. Yeah, that's about it. Now, I wrote the article saying that Robin's probably available to everybody. I want to say probably. They didn't really confirm it. They danced around it. This is how these people do their thing. But the fact that they said exclusive early access,
right.
I'm in the same vein that, yeah, totally, he's coming for everybody. Tim Drake, everybody too. The third Robin, who's no longer Robin in the current continuity, but they're about to blink the universe of DC Comics, so who knows what's going
to
happen when he runs.
They're about to blink it?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's, you know, they're going to reset continuity. They're taking all the issues back to one, and they're rechanging everything. Welcome to get out from underneath your anime rock. This has been huge news for like 3 weeks now. IGN's been covering the crap out of it.
I want to know what the anime rock looks like.
It's like grayish.
Okay.
And it's got really jagged edges, and it cries out these giant sweat drops pop off. All the time. Anybody care about this except me?
No, right, not
the continuity thing or the fact that Robin is in
continuity.
The game?
Continuity. I know you care about Scott Lowe. But yeah, Robin in the game, I mean, it's exciting. It means that he's actually in the game. Like the people
not playable, though.
Outside of challenge maps, no. I think he's going to be like the Joker, right?
Okay.
But the fact that they have his model, I'm assuming means that they have his model like they did for Joker last time around, so Robin's in the game actively doing something, which I'm excited about.
I didn't take you for a Robin fan.
I like Tim Drake quite a bit.
Okay.
I do not like that he's Red Robin currently.
Okay.
Oh, I thought, who is Owl Dude? Owl Bro. Wasn't there an Owl?
Watchmen?
No.
I thought Owl Dude, Owl Bro?
I thought that at one point, Robin was named
Nightwing.
An owl. Nightwing.
No, Dick Grayson, the original Robin.
Close enough.
Graduated from being
owl
Robin.
Bro. owl bro, Nightwing, same thing. Whatever.
Eventually Dick Grayson got tired of being Robin and went on to be Nightwing, and then he did that for a long, long time, and then he became Batman when Bruce Wayne was dead, in quotes.
Okay.
And then when Bruce Wayne came back from the dead, because he's really just lost in time, Dick Grayson continued to be Batman, and then Bruce Wayne was also Batman, and they started this thing called Batman Incorporated, which is where we are right now. Now you're caught up.
Oh, my God. But comic books.
In August, this is all going to change.
I just blacked out. What did you say?
All right. Anyways.
Owl
number,
dude.
Number owl bro.
Owl bro.
Everybody, send in your owl bro,
owl bro
fan art, please.
Owl bro.
Number three, Bungie, the famed Xbox 360 exclusive developer responsible for the Halo series, is working on a new multi-console game. No one knows the details of what the game is yet, however. The name Bungie Aerospace has been floated, though no one knows exactly what it is either. It is a game or... Oh, I'm sorry. Is it a game or a service or something else entirely? We'll find out soon, as Bungie has promised a reveal of Bungie Aerospace in the coming weeks. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm actually interested to see what the hell that is. Because I know that earlier this year, we know that Bungie, I guess, made a copyright on Aerospace. Now, is that the game or like some sort of... Why are they calling it Bungie Aerospace? If the game was called Aerospace or the project was called Aerospace, they would just call it Aerospace.
The rumor was that they were working on an MMO, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Or was that debunked? I can't remember.
I don't know. I mean, I remember hearing... I've heard a lot of rumors about what this game is, so... Yeah. I don't know, like, they keep good secrets over there.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
I like it when they do countdown clocks that go to nothing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that happened.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Do you like it when they announce that they're going to announce something like they just did?
God. Number four. Chaos Studios, the developers of Frontlines, Fuel of War, and more recently Homefront, has been closed down by publisher THQ. The move was described as, quote, strategic realignment, end quote, with the development of the reported Homefront sequel and perhaps future Homefront DLC being shifted to THQ's Montreal studio. Clearly, a strange move for a studio that delivered a profitable game that sold nearly 3 million copies. Then again, let's not forget what happened to THQ's stock price when Homefront Reviews began coming out, yeah, said Colin Moriarty with a scowl. Are you scared? Are you worried? What are you going
to do? I'm bummed because I think their cast was onto something with Homefront, and I just hope that they can continue that, you know, with the sequel of Montreal Studios. Because, like I said, like I gave Homefront a 7. I think that's a completely fair score. It was a good game. You played it. You liked it.
I enjoyed it.
The setting was obviously the best part about the game, and I gave the presentation a 9. I mean, I thought the like the story and the characters and what was happening, where you were fighting, was really riveting. You know, fighting in like a survivalist camp in Utah, and then fighting on the Golden Gate Bridge and all that. I mean, I like that kind of stuff, so I really dug it. But I'm a little bummed that they're not going to be able to do the next game. But hopefully, you know, THQ knows what it's doing, and this studio, you know, gives some love to Homefront 2.
They've done wonders with the De Blob franchise, so I'm sure THQ knows what they're doing. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
All right.
I thought De Blob was really good.
I shuffled my papers, sir. I shuffled them.
All right.
No, DeBob is a very good game.
Yeah.
Number five, Rage, the much-anticipated upcoming new IP from id Software, has been delayed.
Oh.
Originally slated for release on September 13, Rage has been pushed back a month to October 4th. Oh. No, says Colin.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, though, because like so many other, you know, Arkham City's coming out in October.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. There's just a lot of things. Plus, you know, it gives me a little more time to play Resistance, I guess, which is nice.
Mm. Yeah.
But there's just so many, and then you got to kind of make a buffer room for Elder Scrolls, and you know, there's just
Uncharted, of course. The first of November.
Was I the only one unimpressed by Elder Scrolls?
No, I still do not have a nerd boner for that. I always say.
Yeah, I almost fell asleep during the demo.
Fools!
I shit you not.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like the last demo of E3, actually.
Okay. So, to be fair, you might have fallen asleep for anything.
It's true. I was really tired.
You might have had the entire Girls' Generation ensemble dancing in front of you, yeah, and you might have fallen asleep. K-pop reference.
Well, I mean, the little room they put you in was super hot, and I was in with a bunch of sweaty dudes. And...
All right. Talk about the game. Why?
I don't know. I saw it, and I'm like, okay, so this is like Fallout 3 with swords and dragons and pointy hats. And
Fallout 3 was like Elder Scrolls 4, though, with guns.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's
it's a natural evolution.
That's what they do, you know. Yeah. But this game's running on, I think the game looks beautiful. It's clearly running on a different engine. I think it looks really cool. I think the combat looks fun. The dual wielding looks cool. The dual wielding with like spells and weapons, I think, looks nice. I think that game's gonna blow people away.
I mean, I like the idea that you can stab a dragon, but I mean, other than that, like wandering around and kind of.
I agree with Scott.
I need to mark the time for that noise you made. That was. He's like a small animal.
I don't know. I think people that aren't. I mean. I have weird tastes on games, clearly, and
of course,
and people don't.
For Rage.
People don't remind me. You know, people remind me of that regularly, but. I think you're crazy if you're not excited about that game, about Skyrim.
I just don't – I don't know. My problem with Skyrim is that everyone is so excited about it. Everyone.
What does that tell you, though?
I look at the demo and I go, I don't know what the fuck crack you people are smoking. Jesus. I mean, it looks good. Yeah. I'm not taking away from how awesome those games are. Fallout, it took me a long time to warm up to Fallout, and then once I played it, I was like, game of the year. Okay, I'm totally down with this. I understand. But, like, looking at it in action, maybe is the fact that so many people have more experience with the Elder Scrolls franchise. You know what I mean? Like, they've, you know, I didn't play the last one. I didn't play Oblivion.
Well, it looks like an awesome expansion to an existing series. But the way people were talking about it at E3 was like, it was this fucking, like, magical gaming experience, and I went. I'm like, well, I've seen
it's
this
like
before.
I compare that demo of Skyrim to BioShock Infinite, and it's like BioShock Infinite blew me away.
Yeah.
I thought that was so well done, and the characterization you get out of that.
Well, it's doing something new, and
exactly,
yeah.
And it looks beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas like Skyrim still looks kind of has that stiff like.
Yeah,
I've
always thought Skyrim and the Elder Scrolls games have looked awkward. Nothing about them looks natural.
I think that that's the case with, you know, what they were doing with Oblivion and Fallout 3. I think that, like, especially in third person, you know, for instance, when Charles and I saw the game for the first time, we were amongst the first small batch of people to ever see the game. The first thing that Todd Howard showed us was, you know, he went into third person. And he was like, look at how great the animation is.
And that does
like,
look better.
Because, like, in, you know, the guys usually, you know, Clayman used to do a great impression of, like, how it looks like when someone's just running by you in Fallout 3 and you're just, like, waving his arms. But this guy, like, looked normal. And he looked like he had a nice cadence going. His weapons looked, you know, flowing. His robes or whatever. I mean, everything just like, kind of looked nice. And I'm not saying the game is like Uncharted level beautiful, but the game definitely looks a lot better than I expected it was going to look. And, you know, because when you...
Like, when he pulls up his shield and, like, the blurry textures right there, I'm like, yeah, this is what I expected.
I mean, I just, you know, I think when you played Fallout 3 or, like, you know, 2008, I was like, this is a pretty good-looking game. It looks a little aged, but it looks pretty good. But then when you played New Vegas, you were like, this doesn't look really good anymore. Yeah. Like, this game's almost inexcusably bad-looking. But I think that they're trying to rectify that in a lot of ways. But, again, the way a game looks and sounds are the least important things about a game. So,
of course.
So,
very true.
You know, I'm excited to just. I know that game's going to suck hundreds of hours out of my life, and I want it to. Because it's just. It's like one of those games, like, you get once a year. It's like Grand Theft Auto or Fallout or, you know, back when good Final Fantasy games were released.
Whoa!
You know, it was like you looked forward to that game where you're like, I want to play this, and, but then I need to carve out a month in which I'm going to play this game. And so that's why I'm excited about it. And I'm glad it's coming out in November so I have time to play Resistance and Rage and Twisted Metal and whatever else I'm going to play before that game comes out, because nothing else is going to have any air to breathe.
Yep. Yeah, I don't fault anyone for getting a nerd boner over it. I just can't. Personally.
It's just not getting us to wiggle.
Yeah. Speaking of nerd boners, goddamn, I keep getting more excited about the Vita every time I see a new Vita trailer for a game.
Vita's going to be awesome, dude. I'm a total believer.
Yeah.
Ooh, my goodness.
What trailer did you see?
The Gravity Days trailer. Okay. I didn't get a chance to see it earlier.
Okay.
It's just, oh my God, it's got so much potential. There's so much cool stuff. Also, Dragon Crown, calling it right now. Dragon's Crown. It's the next VanillaWare game, but it's for Vita. So
they showed this like in the montage.
Yeah,
the
it's a,
right?
It's almost like a Golden Axe kind of, you know, 2D side-scrolling brawler. But
I'm so excited.
By VanillaWare. So it's the animation is like, you know, super spectacular art style and everything. I haven't reviewed a VanillaWare game yet, so I totally want to.
Okay.
Please.
I'm still the game I'm most excited about, hands down, is Super Stardust.
Yeah,
a little bit.
That's
beautiful.
Yeah, that game's gonna make
Super Stardust is amazing too. Don't get me wrong.
Make me.
It's
something.
Gonna be awesome when they're all sitting around playing Vita games. That'll be a fun week when everybody in the office, Tal and Per, are playing Vita games.
And then a week later they don't.
And then exactly. it's just the four of us again.
There's firmware for the Vita.
Guinness will have some goddamn comment.
You know what I'm surprised about though? This is interesting as we get closer to. I mean, a lot of things can change in the next 6 months, but. And looking at NPD numbers in which 3DS sold under 100,000 units. Under 100,000 units last month.
That's pathetic.
It's really bad. Like, really. To put that into context, the Wii sold, I think, 225,000 last month. The Wii.
Yeah.
So, there's no moment. No one really seems to care about the 3DS. And so, I think that the Vita...
I certainly don't.
I think that there's going to be plenty of, like, a vacuum for the Vita to be like, look, there's a handheld with games. And that's why I was asking Yoshida. I'm like, did you... learn something from Nintendo because of the lukewarm reception. I'm not sure about in Japan, but I know in the United States there were no games, so no one gave a shit. And no one still gives a shit because there's still no games.
Yeah.
So is that why they're waiting? Is that why there's this robust catalog of games that look like they're going to be ready?
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
That's what matters.
It's also awesome that the other day, like, someone came in, and I think it was Jack, who was like, I was trying out Street Pass again, woo! And I was like, man,
Yeah, the DS, the DS store or whatever, just got updated.
Just throw the thing out the window.
Yeah,
I'm reviewing. At E3, I was like, I like Luigi's Mansion. I like the Mario.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Mario Kart.
Yeah.
I'd like to play these games on the go. Why not? And I started thinking if I should buy one. And then I'm reviewing all these gosh darn Green Lantern games. I'm playing the 3DS version of that thing. The screen's wobbling back and forth. Yeah. The screen, even with 3D off, is somehow still hurting my eyes. I'm like, I'm not buying this piece of garbage.
Yeah, I mean, so this is what I kept saying. I actually took the train with Rich yesterday, our Nintendo executive editor.
Was he just like, Nintendo, Nintendo,
Nintendo? And I was talking to him, like, listen, like, I'm a well-documented old-school Nintendo fan. Yeah, like that was my, I loved Sony since the mid 90s, but I was also a big Nintendo fan. NES, SNES, N64, and I really loved the GameCube. I was definitely a big evangelist of the GameCube because it had great games.
Right.
And even though they were few and far between.
Right.
And what I was telling him was that with the 3DS, I am still waiting for that one game where it makes me buy it. And I told him, I'm like, I'll buy it right away when they announce a game I care about. If you're just going to tease a Smash Brothers that's going to come out in 3 years, or if
that
you're
gonna, was terrible. And, give me and a, the fact that everybody got so excited about that.
It's like, oh!
There's a new Smash Brothers coming. We have no screens. We just started working on it. Like, fuck off.
Yeah, it's like, and they announce, like...
That will take 4 to 5 years.
I know.
And they announce, like, a Mario... Like, for instance, I could give a shit less about Mario Kart right now. It's like... Who cares? I want something new. Luigi's Mansion was probably the biggest surprise, and that's cool. I really enjoyed that game on GameCube. And the Mario game looked interesting, but again, it's not compelling software. The Kid Icarus game is not a Kid Icarus game, so I'm not going to play it. I want something that sells the system to me. I want to buy it. I want to see what everyone or some people are excited about with it, but I don't. And that's the thing with Vita. It's like, man, when we saw those games, it's like, holy shit, this Uncharted game is awesome. This game feels great. Super Stardust, I'm going to lose so much time in that game. Mod Nation, the creation tools were awesome. Little Deviants, this game is really unique. It uses
I guarantee Little Deviants is not going to be one we talk about.
Well, we'll see. I mean, what I'm saying is that there's not one game. It's not two games. It's not three
exactly.
Games.
No, they
it's
have this
a roster of games.
Blaze Blue looks so good.
Yeah,
it's telling to me that the game people are most excited about 3DS is Ocarina of Time. Sorry, I think I was telling you, like, Ocarina of Time is a very special game to many gamers. Everyone in this room has experience with it and played it. I know Clements and I were talking about our first experience with it, how me and my friend Mike were in his basement at his house, like, right after Christmas, playing the shit out of that game.
Yep.
And how when it came out again on GameCube and I played it and I really loved it, even though I'm a bigger fan of Majora's Mask and stuff, but I'm like, enough. Enough. Give me a game that I care about.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Wii U. It's like, cool, this thing has potential. All these third-party games are going to be out for like a year by the time the Wii U comes out. So where are the games that are compelling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't seem
Chase
to understand
Me.
That it's
Chase
games.
Me.
I didn't get the chance to play
Chase
anything.
Chase Me is cool.
I like Battle
just
Me.
Just a tech demo. Yeah, well, I didn't like Battle. I didn't like the controls of Battle Me.
Did you use the Wii U controller?
I used the Wii U.
Yeah.
I did both actually. That's
well, I mean, it, like having to like look around holding the thing is kind of awkward. Like using the.
Remember, everybody, if you haven't seen it, the Wii U is. I mean, and I'm not mocking it. Imagine an iPad and then joysticks on the side with buttons on the side too. And then like for the Battle Me. Like, when you're in the shit, like, the whole thing is that it's like American Gladiators with the other Mii's running around on the ground and one person's in a spaceship trying to shoot them.
Yeah.
Trying to shoot them.
But in order to steer it, you have to literally move it up and down and, like, change your perspective.
Yeah.
Like, as if you were looking down on the level. It's pretty crazy. And it's a really awkward juxtaposition between, like, using the analogs and, changing your perspective by,
It's
holding.
Just something that you're not used to doing, I guess. Yeah, that's the argument, right? But Chase Me was great, I thought. Like, I really, really dug that. And was a bunch of Mii's. It's basically hide and seek, right? Like,
yeah.
There's a bunch of Mii's in the middle, and then there's one person who's it who has to run and hide, and the person who's it is using the Wii U controller, and you run off on this maze, and then they all have to talk to each other and try to find you, and then they run and chase you and dive.
But
why y'all giggles? What do you giggle puss up here?
I'm not at anything you said.
What
but
anime
still,
do we remind you of?
No, I'm so glad that during the Nintendo press conference I was sitting right next to Colin. And like when Reggie came out, look.
That was great.
That was so
like,
awesome.
Colin and I just made eye contact and I lost it for like 10 minutes. I couldn't stop laughing.
It was like this great, it was a Wada first, right? And he was up there and he's like, talking very politely and eloquently and stuff. And then Reggie just comes out and he walks out, and he's like, look. I'm like, oh man. It's not as good as the kicking ass taking names E3 that Reggie made himself famous for, but it was pretty close.
What did you think of the PlayStation conference?
I actually enjoyed it. I think it definitely had a few points where I was sort of, saying to myself, let's go, let's move on
a little bit.
You're
tapping your watch.
But otherwise, I prefer the Sony conferences. I always really love because they take them very seriously. They don't try and crack many jokes. And when they do, they're very sort of, like, very subtle humor, like Jack making like a, you know, side comment about something.
Ridge Racer.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That was funny.
That was great.
Those moments aside, but
that was good. He made fun of him at the conference.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I thought you were talking about the original Ridge Racer. But anyway, so I like that they take their conferences seriously.
It's very buttoned up, yeah.
They and I think that in a professional business conference, that's probably the way to go. Because as we have seen by the, what was it, Ubisoft press conference, you cannot. It just doesn't work. That conference was painful to me to watch.
I like Sony's conference fine. We talked about this in the video. The whole problem with all the conferences, right, was that everybody came out and said what you'd expect them to say. There was no, oh, and by the way, we have GTA 12, or we got blah, blah, you know what I mean? It was just like, oh, here's all the stuff we already knew about. Yeah, yeah.
It was just like, you know, reinforcing their position, which exactly. I thought was like really boring. Like,
what's the last awesome press conference anyone can remember?
Well, I mean, last year with, you know, Twisted Metal and stuff
Kevin
like that.
Butler.
Like Kevin Butler. Like, I mean, it was definitely much more interesting last year.
It went on too long, I remember people saying
that. Yeah,
last
well, both,
year.
I
and
think, left,
so much
went on too long.
Last year.
Yeah. I got seated I sat myself front row with because all right so,
thanks to me
all right so to give you a little background, I was up in the stands
this
with
is for the Sony conference this year.
Yeah, and they had this big kind of stadium rented out in LA, and I was originally in like the you know the seats up top, and I was with Rich George and
Fran Mirabelle.
And Fran and I were going to be, you know, providing pictures for the live blog. But, you know, all of a sudden Greg's like, come on down here. I'll get you down into the floor. So we get there, and the area we thought we had seats in was completely full. And so we found two seats literally dead center in front of, like, Jack Tretton. Like, you know, like literally like right, like probably 3 feet from the stage. And soon we figured out that we were in like the executive section and we weren't really supposed to be there, but no one really said anything. So like I'm sitting right next to Peter Moore I don't know if I should say what he was doing, but like he was not very energetic.
That sounds interesting.
He was not very enthralled with the conference either.
Yeah.
He was looking at his phone a lot.
I always get excited. Because yep. I guess it's just me being excited, being a video game fan.
We like video games. Yeah, it's always fun. I got excited. I mean, watching. I was excited before Nintendo's conference started. I was like, I can't wait to see this damn thing. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be hardcore. And then I got a musical treat for 20 minutes. And then I got to see the.
Let's go through the history of Zelda music. Because we have nothing better to do at E3.
Vita pricing. What do you guys think?
I like it. Like it a lot. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right, I am
perfect.
Seriously considering. I imagine I will end up getting the 3G model.
Yeah.
USSR.
As long as they keep the data plan at like $20 or less a month, I think I'd be on board.
You won't tether instead?
What do you mean?
Like use your phone to tether?
No, because I have the unlimited. I have an iPhone. I have that unlimited plan that I was grandfathered into. So
yeah.
I'd have to tether it and go out some other way. What I want to happen is that the PSP. I'm sorry, the Vita allows me to tether through it. That's what I want. I want that ability.
Yeah.
So then I'd be completely sold.
Like a mobile hotspot kind of thing?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? Is it possible to be $20 or less for the 3G?
Service plan?
Yeah.
I think if they're smart, it will be.
Okay.
But I'm assuming it'll be really limited in terms of like the amount of data you get. Mm. And, you know, the other thing they're trying to offset, again, one thing they mentioned during the conference is that, you know, through that they will allow people to access any AT&T Wi-Fi hotspot, which is like, you know, airports and coffee shops and stuff like that. So I mean, it'll be offset, but I don't know. I'm curious to see how the 3G units will sell. And, you know, unfortunately, one thing that I'd like to see from Apple is like, you know, the sales for the iPad, because I'm assuming that the cheapest model, the Wi-Fi only model, is probably the biggest seller.
That's what I got, yeah.
Because like even I don't know why I do, but I pay for 3G on the iPad, but I really should just tether because it would cost about the same and it would work about this, you know, the same. It would work exactly the same way, except for, you know, I'd be draining the power on my iPhone for it. But yeah, I'm really curious to see how people react and you know, pick up on the 3G thing.
They need to prove when they announce that plan, they need to give me some kind of if it doesn't allow tethering, that's gonna be a huge blow, because then what am I doing? I'm doing Nier with it, like, you know what I mean, like I'm gonna
Nier the action RPG.
No, near the Vita ability to see what people have been playing around me.
Well, The other thing I'm really curious to see if what they do is if like they try to make like a contract thing, because Apple's got the, you know, the balls to say AT&T, you're not gonna make this a contract thing. People are gonna be able to buy month to month. But you know, Sony may be less concerned with that and maybe just be like, okay, we'll make people sign up for a year or 2 year contract for this thing, which would totally suck.
Why?
But, well, you want to lock into a data contract for your NGP or your, you know, Vita.
All right.
I'm just going the Wi-Fi route, man.
Yeah. I want to see. I'm not saying for sure I'm doing it. I just want to see.
I can't think of a time that I would not be near a Wi-Fi spot either at home or at the office and needing to connect to the internet using Vita.
I gotta sink these trophies.
I know. I like.
Exactly.
Honestly, right. I rarely game online, and when I do, it's almost always at like sort of a dedicated.
Well, and that's the other big question. It's like, are they gonna allow you to, you know, do access online multiplayer for all games using 3G? 3G is not that fast, you know. Like, I mean, if it was 4G, I'd understand that, because then you could, like, you know, do real time, you know, wipe out and stuff like that. But is it just gonna be limited to accessing the store and, you know, check, you know, that's getting live updates?
I'll tell you what I want it for is that if I'm ever on the train or in the BARTs or whatever, I can download comics to my iPad. I want it for tethering, because I think that's a better solution for me than changing my iPhone plan.
Oh, so you want to see if the Vita will allow you to tether to
Correct.
Other objects. I don't think that'll be the case.
He brought that up last week, like when we were talking to Yoshida. Yeah.
He seemed open to that idea, so I think he's going to, next press conference, probably TGS will come out and be like, I got a great idea from Greg Miller.
Another shout out to Yoshida-san, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Because it just still blows my mind that there are extremely high-ranking Sony executives that listen to our dumb little podcast.
Yeah, and he was great.
Yeah, he was very nice.
So personal.
He was very
nice. Honest answers.
Yeah.
He was very honest. And I will say this, I mean, you know, as I tweeted, A, that was one of the coolest moments of my professional career. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Speaking to him, seeing how cool he was, seeing that he really listens to Podcast Beyond.
Yeah.
Which is like, so it's not just him, you know, it's not like, you know, you would expect, you know, a very busy man, a very well-respected person who has a lot of things to do, might not be able to listen to Podcast Beyond, which is almost unimaginable, but I assume that's the case.
There are people out there, I think, who still don't listen to Podcast Beyond.
But he really does. I mean, he was mentioning things we were saying and doing for quite some time.
He was calling me out, like my move, when I was like, don't buy Move yet. So that was like from November of last year.
And then, you know, he tweeted at me, which I thought was really cool, saying, you know, it was great to be on, because I said, you know, thank you, and it was very nice to meet you. And now he's following me on Twitter. So that's where he's following us all
you
on
made
Twitter.
It. You
so
made
now
it,
I can, huh? I'm just going to retire. But hey, I will say this about look. I thought the press conference was pretty strong. I mean, I wrote a piece, an editorial about why I thought Sony won E3 with the press conference.
Yeah.
I wasn't blown away by it. I did a video with Damon in which I said it was like an 8 or an 8.5 if it was on the IGN scale. And I wasn't like the most amazing Sony conference. Certainly not the most amazing E3 conference I ever saw. But I think they easily won. And I'll say that as a gamer, because there are games, and that's like what I care about. You know, it seems like Microsoft is doing really well by making Xbox 360 an entertainment destination, and they seem less concerned about exclusives because they don't really need them, because a game like Call of Duty is still going to outsell it on PlayStation 3 2-1, and they have all these great packages and ESPN and all those things that you can watch YouTube, and now they have Minecraft, which is a game, obviously. Yeah. So I mean, they're so they're filling like the needs of their consumers. I think their core consumers. I think they're doing it really well. But I think I was really disappointed with Nintendo, because I think that they didn't pick up any momentum from last year's E3 on 3DS. There are still no games that I care about. Two of the games they announced are fucking N64 ports. So big whoop. You know, who cares? And no Wii U games. So. Again, like, I don't care. And nothing even for Wii to, like, tide people over, except for Skyward Sword, which I think is really strange. And, like, not even an announcement that The Last Story or one of these RPGs that are already localized and coming out in Europe are coming out in the United States. No announcement. Yeah. Like, that's a little weird to me. Sony won because they showed games. Yeah, we weren't surprised. Yeah, we kind of knew Sly was coming, and you know, maybe we expected more. And I thought it was a little strange they ignored Twisted Metal. I thought it was a little strange I thought it was a little strange that they ended on such a, like, it was,
totally
the ending
flat,
was weird.
Right?
I wanted God of War 4. I wanted Siphon Filter. I wanted something big at the end. They didn't do that, and so that really bothered me. But at the same time, I was really blown away by Vita. Like I said, Vita has a robust catalog of very interesting games that I can't wait to play. And there are a lot of things this year in the now that we're going to get to play on PlayStation 3.
Uncharted, I think, totally is, you know, people slept on the entire show. You know what I mean? Like, right. Nobody talked about Uncharted. And I think part of that is the I don't think they showed the right demo at the thing. Behind closed doors, I got to see the cargo plane demo, and that was way more exciting than the ship demo, which was cool. Still cool demo, you know, ship rolling, and but, you know, he's drowning. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And then on the floor, it was all multiplayer.
No biggie.
So if you didn't go behind closed doors and all you did was see snippets of the PlayStation press conference, you walked by and said, oh, it's more multiplayer, and kept going. You know what I mean? I want to go see what's happening with Journey or what's happening with Pixels.
Right. And I will say the most surreal experience of that whole thing was playing Twisted Metal at a kiosk, and 10 feet to my left is Perry Farrell running around the stage singing Jane's Addiction song. So that was cool.
My God.
That was wild. I love Jane's Addiction.
Well, I'm not exactly a huge Jane's Addiction fan, and I'll tell you, trying to demo Medieval Moves Deadman's Quest on the kiosk directly in front of the stage,
yeah,
where Jane's Addiction is performing. Tremendously difficult. that was an experience. Also, I am pretty sure, I think I told you this, walking through Sony's little, I don't want to say VIP area, but it was the closed off area.
Their booth. If you've gone to PlayStation Home,
yeah,
it's the area you can't get up to until you watch all the trailers. And if you haven't gone to PlayStation Home, go there, watch all the trailers, and then go play the arcade cabinet up top, which is a Scribble Shooter. It is an awesome downloadable title only coming to PlayStation Home.
There you go. But anyway, walking up around the VIP area, almost positive. I'd like to say 90% certain that Hiro from Heroes walked by me with a PR handler next to him.
Racist. I heard he was around there, actually.
I don't know what racist.
I'm kidding. I'm 90% sure. I'm just giving you a hard time. Clearly, yeah. It was Hiro Nakamura.
Greg and I saw T-Pain.
Yes, we saw T-Pain.
And
Cisco.
Cisco.
And here's the dynamite thing we heard about afterward. The thong song guy, yeah. Here's what me and Scott Lowe, there's a video up of us talking about the Vita. Yeah. We're holding it. I lick it. We finished that video, and Anthony Cava, our camera guy, goes, all right, that was really great, guys. By the way, Cisco walked by. And we're like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, no. Cisco walked by and goes, oh, shit, IGN, and then kept walking. And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
He actually stood there and watched us for a while.
Really?
Yeah, the publicist afterwards was like, yeah, he wanted to meet you guys, but you guys were shooting. So we.
Cisco,
yeah.
I'm sure you're listening to Podcast Beyond. Next time you run into a C3, you are welcome to interrupt.
Your song changed my life.
You are motherfucking Cisco. You are allowed to come in and say, what up, Vita?
Yeah. We would be glad to
I like
have you.
That Hot Shots Golf. No, let me tell you about Thong Song 2011.
He was laughing all the way to the bank with that song.
That's a great song. I think that was a good toe. And all the reader questions are about E3. So we can keep on and rolling here.
Before
we close out the Roper Report, two things to point out, ladies and gentlemen.
That was the Roper Report.
On Monday, Colin and I are recording the Infamous 2 spoiler cast, where we will sit down and talk about everything in Infamous 2. Nothing will be sacred, so send in questions about that. Please title them, send your questions, of course, to beyond@ign.com. Title them, Infamous spoiler cast, or just Infamous colon, then whatever.
Yeah, that's good. But Infamous 2 colon.
Start just so there's a way that we can look through them and grab them and not ruin the game for Clements, and I don't have to worry about them coming in. Remember, we're recording it on Monday, so get them to me hopefully by Monday at noon. What's up?
Accidentally looked at one of the spoilercast emails. It's okay, because it only ruined the evil ending.
All right. Oh, I know which one you're talking about, too.
Yeah.
I won't say it out loud.
I'm still going to play it. I'm telling you guys, I know you guys think that I'm some sort of Infamous hater because I never beat the first one.
No, I never think you're an Infamous
but
hater.
But I am really excited to play the second one. It's sitting on my desk, ready to go.
I am very, very happy with the response it's getting in the IGN office. Nicole Tanner borrowed my personal copy yesterday, and she's like, when I gave it to her, she's like, just so you know, I didn't like the first one all that much. I'm like, okay, I want to see what you think of this one. And then she tweeted last night that she was like really blown away with the first 45 minutes, that it was, better, looked better, felt better, played better. And I was like, awesome, great.
There you go.
The other one, ladies and gentlemen, as we've said before, this is Podcast Beyond episode 193. A long time ago, we talked about maybe we could do a live Beyond for 200, the big one, a live studio audience. That is happening.
Wait, a live studio audience like the Donahue show?
That's how we're going to say it in the beginning. Yeah, you will be
like Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
I want the audience to go aww at some point.
I'm sure they will. Remember first off, we're putting the cart ahead of the horse here.
All right.
Podcast Beyond episode 200 will be live in San Francisco on August 4th. We are recording on a Thursday, which is our normal thing of events. Do not panic yet. Do not start emailing in about I want to come to the show, because it's not going to be open call. It's not going to be like, hey, everybody come here. You're going to email in. You're going to have to prove that you can come to San Francisco, and then we will select you, and we will bring out hopefully like 100 to 150 people. And when I say bring out, I mean we will give you an email saying you can come. You have to pay your own way here. We'll have probably some swag, maybe some pizza up here, but that's it. You got to get to San Francisco on your own, and I'll do it on August 4th.
Will there be beer?
afterwards, I will lead this crew to Eddie Rickenbacker's, and we will get Panda.
Okay, that we absolutely have to call them at that point.
Yes, I know.
They've gotten upset at us before.
I know, it'll be okay. All but right. Again, though.
I know, how dare we bring business there?
Yeah.
Can you believe
it? And then they yell at us for standing around the tables.
Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding me? No, I know what you're saying. Like, I've been there a couple times where that one waitress was getting mad a couple times. Yeah. I want to be like, are you fucking serious? Do you have any idea how dead this place would be if we didn't bring people here and how much money you're making?
Yeah.
Get over it.
But here's the other important caveat. Next week, we will have information on how to do this. Do not get crazy now and buy tickets. Do not – I mean, this is your week to plan. Can I legitimately be in San Francisco on August 4th?
August 4th.
A Thursday. Do not – you are not guaranteed a spot. So don't do anything crazy. Do not do anything rash yet.
If you flake, we'll come down there and kill you.
That's the other thing too. Do not, when we give out information next week on how to do this, please, for the love of God, do not send in things saying, I'll totally be there, and then not come. Because you're taking away a spot of somebody who might have actually come.
And don't tweet the details either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, even then, we're going to have your name. You will have to prove who you are when you get here.
Yeah.
But then we'll have some fun.
It's going to be an exclusive. It'll be exclusive.
Yeah.
But if you get in, goddamn, we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. You know. Colin, if I wanted to know what games came out this week, where could I go?
Oh, Greg, it's been a while.
I know.
You can go to the official IGN list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
And it's been a while
since I could say.
No, we all say like it's been a while since I've gone and fucked things up just like I always do.
You're going too high, man.
Some tone differential there.
I was trying to harmonize. I've never actually learned how to do
harmony. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know that existed until the Beatles Rock Band.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Do you remember that song that Stain did with Fred Durst?
Yeah.
Which one?
This is the real motherfucking deal, y'all.
Yeah, that's all he did. Yeah. I remember the video where he, like, sitting on the stage.
Yeah, he just sat on the stage.
And just like, yes. Yeah. But then they recorded, like, a studio version, like, a year too late. All right, anyway. Oh, God, it's been a while, hasn't it? No, so this is a list of games that have come out the last 2 weeks because we weren't able to do this last week.
Okay.
So it's a little hodgepodge. There's quite a few things. Nothing on PlayStation 2. In fact, I think it's time we might want to get rid of three platforms. No?
I'm fine with that.
How about three platforms, because now it'll be PSP and Vita.
Oh! Beyond.
Living la vida loca.
Lips were devil red. And his skin's a color loca. Holy shit.
I love Ricky
I have Ward. To buy that song.
Ricky Martin's awesome, dude. I like that song.
That song is awesome. It is a great song.
On PSP, Blaze Blue, Continuum Shift 2.
You're playing that.
Yep.
That review's going up today.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
You want to spoil it?
I will spoil
it. Give it a thumbs up or down.
I'm going to give it a
middle thumb.
It's got to be a middle thumb because all I can think about is Blaze Blue Vita, which is going to be a thousand times better. But with that said, if you don't mind that it's going to kind of look and sound like shit, it's still a fun game.
Looks but like shit.
They can't. Well, it doesn't look like shit.
It's like Custer's Revenge on Atari.
All right. It's just. I mean, they have made the developers have made tremendous sacrifice to the graphics and audio to get it to fit on a UMD. I haven't tested. That's it.
I haven't
tested the 3DS version yet.
Okay.
My assumption, same thing.
Gotcha.
But who knows?
Greg.
Yeah.
Caribbean Queen.
All right, no, we gotta actually get through these. Now
we're sharing the same dream, and our hearts will beat as one.
All right, I'm sorry, I wanted to.
Mr. Yoshida, if you've made it this far in the podcast, congratulations.
All right, there's a lot of games on PS3. Transformers: Dark of the Moon. Now, what the hell does that mean? Dark of the Moon. That's what the name. Is that the movie?
Yeah, it's the movie.
Dark of the Moon.
Dark of the Moon. Yeah.
You know, Michael Bay doesn't know grammar.
Dark of the... All right. Not
it was,
seeing that
it was
movie.
A simple way, it was dark. A simple way to get an Ozzy Osbourne song in there, all right? They just redid it.
Dark of the moon.
I think that's...
Bark.
I know. It's a parody. Like, Ozzy's jumping off.
Ozzy's jumping off?
every time I hear... There's a radio commercial that has Ozzy Osbourne doing like the brisk iced tea.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of that?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he's doing the like, hey, people are asking me how you're talking to me, Momo. You know? And Dan Iverson, one of my roommates and a IGN fan here. What am I talking about?
Editor.
He works here.
likes IGN questions.
But he also likes it. We were just imagining Ozzy Osbourne in the sound booth recording that, and the producer like sitting there like, Ozzy, we're going to need you to do that one more time. And then he's like,
could you please sound more incoherent?
Ozzy, we need one more for safety, please. Can't understand you.
God only knows how that man still walks the earth. Anyway. Record of Agarist War.
Is that game... What?
Yeah, that's what it said.
That's not right.
Okay.
How's that right? That game's been out like a billion years ago. Maybe just for 360.
That's what it says.
I don't know.
I'm just telling you what it says. On this paper I wrote. Duke Nukem Forever. That's a probably Game of the Year contender.
Yep.
Yep.
Alice Madness Returns. Red Faction Armageddon. Starring Bruce Willis. Operation Flashpoint, Red River. Green Lantern. That's Platinum!
That's our trophy tip of the week. That is a great game to Platinum Trophy. I've Platinumed.
Just the tip. You did it pretty late at night last night, didn't you, buddy?
Yeah, I finally got back. I went and saw the Green Lantern movie yesterday.
All right.
And then I came back and wrote some stuff for the IGN today. And then I was like, now I need... Colin needed it. Colin needs the Green Lantern because he's not working on Friday. So I need to make sure I got the Platinum out of the way.
All right, got it.
So yeah, I Platinumed it at 1:30 last night. Because you just have to play through on hard, which is easy. And you get the collectibles, which are easy. And then at the end, though, you have to grind out to get enough experience points to buy a couple things. So I just kept playing the last level over and over again, listening to podcasts.
And amazing for what you do for these little icons on the dashboard.
Big ups to Anthony Gallegos for staying Monday night with me. Him and I played that entire game from work. Like 4 o'clock at work we started and got done at 10:30.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any particular reason? Too.
We recognized that it was going to be a goofy game and we'd have some fun together, so we just did it.
That's awesome.
And unanimous choice for pick of the week, Infamous 2. Now,
of course.
I will say real quick, just to answer some Twitter critics of mine.
Uh-huh.
I saw a gentleman just walk outside this window with a Bruins jersey on. That reminded me that the Bruins won the Stanley Cup. Now, I did say, in fact, guarantee that the Bruins would not win the Stanley Cup this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I was wrong. Get off my back. I'm an Islanders fan. That's it.
Okay,
Thank you.
Is that what caused all the rioting?
Yes. Hold on.
Oh, were there riots in Boston?
No. Really?
Do you not know about this? Did you not hear?
Vancouver burned last
night. Oh, Vancouver. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, because when the Patriots – well, I lived in Boston for 5 years. When the Patriots won the Super Bowl and the Red Sox – especially when the Red Sox won the World Series, that city burned.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like – well, I don't know why people do that to their own city.
Real quick, our ship wrote in, and his first question was, I would love to get your thoughts on the riot in Vancouver last night. I'm personally embarrassed. Our reputation has been tarnished.
I haven't read anything about this.
Here's
oh, that's horrifying.
I'll send you the –
Why would they do that? That city's like pristine. Why would they do that to Vancouver?
Well, now it's on fire.
Go to Jim Riley's Twitter, twitter.com/Jim Riley,
mm-hmm.
And he's got a link to this photo feature of all these crazy photos.
Really
of people being
crazy.
How bad was it?
It's really bad. It's like NBA finals times two.
It's way worse than LA, that one we were at.
I mean,
there's a photo, man, of like the guy putting the – rag in the cop car and lighting in a fire. Like, I mean, these photos are insane.
I saw one with, like, a guy holding, like, a mannequin leg.
Yeah, no, they broke in and stole a bunch of mannequins.
There was a bunch of blood on it. I was like, what the hell?
Wow.
He just bludgeoned somebody with a mannequin leg.
And they...
I understand that there's a lot of violence in the world, but when it's over... something that's supposed to be entertainment and something that's supposed to bring us together, that makes me sick to my fucking stomach.
It's just, you know what, dude?
It's embarrassing.
This is the thing, dude.
To be a human being.
I completely agree with you. As a big sports fan, I totally agree with you. And again, the what happened when I was in Boston, what I really realized was, you know, most of these people, when you watch the footage or whatever, what was going on there, or just walking down the street and really, like, because it was happening, like, right around Northeastern where I went, that these... A lot of these people are not sports fans. They're not fans. They're just drunk, and they're just looking for an excuse to be
totally
stupid.
They want
to
fuck shit up.
And it's just surprising to me that, you know, Vancouver has a really great reputation as a beautiful city, as a really nice and friendly city, and that something like that would happen there.
I'm sure there's plenty of Vancouver residents that are disgusted in it also, and that did not participate.
No, totally, and that's always the way. I remember when I was a kid and the Bulls won their first championship. I mean, Chicago went off the chain, and like it happened a little bit. The Giants won the World Series here last year. They won it away, but people still went down in front of the ballpark and burned a fucking tree for no reason. It was like, I don't know. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I've never got it, but I understand.
Drunks are drunks.
So I understand.
So when PlayStation Vita launches, let's go out and burn
some shit.
See, that's the thing is that I can totally understand if you got drunk and just like started screaming and like running up and down the street and like kind of partying. That makes sense to me. Yeah, have a good fucking time. What? But then to burn someone's car to the ground.
Well, if you're going to burn a car, burn your own.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, don't be a dick about it. Yeah, like, somebody wakes up the next morning and they're like, you know, fucking Prius is on fire. Fuel efficiency.
Ryan, what came to digital storefronts this week?
I will tell you. Now, unfortunately, I don't think I have the information from last week.
Don't worry. A whole bunch of stuff came up. Colin keeps it up today.
Colin was on the ball about that. I would like to say that for this week on the PlayStation Network, there's a lot of discounts going on.
Yeah.
Including some discounts for Braid and the Fancy Pants Adventures and Cuboid.
Jesus.
Which are all games that we kind of want to check out.
Colin's looking at the photos right now.
Okay.
This is like a bomb was dropped. Yeah, there's a picture of the skyline with just smoke emanating from Vancouver. Yeah. Like it was just bombed.
Apparently, Colin doesn't care about the downloadable games.
Colin loves the downloadable games because one of his favorites came out this week.
Greg Hastings Paintball 2.
No, not Greg Hastings Paintball.
Dive into authentic paintball action from Greg Hastings, the number one name in the sport. Create an unstoppable team of real players. Load up on revolutionary new gear and guns and brave the unpredictable elements in 62 massive fields based on real locations around the world. This is real paintball combat, intensified with PlayStation Move controller support for precision hits and 7v7 online play.
Wow.
Greg Hastings Paintball 2, tell your friends. $20. Ikimi Village for $9.99. It's a city building game from Ninja Bee. What else did Ninja Bee do? That name sounds familiar.
That does sound familiar.
Also, Midnight Club Los Angeles, the complete edition, is available for $20 on the PlayStation Network, as well as Outland.
Yeah!
A Colin Moriarty recommended game for $9.99.
Game's
Magic
awesome.
The Gathering Duel of the Planeswalkers 2012 for $9.99. If anybody's a big
Magic
fan.
Is that the same one we got for free, or that's a different one? Colin, is that not the PlayStation Plus one for free?
No, I think the one that's free is the one that came out previously. Okay. Remember, I think they're trying to make it a yearly edition now. I know that this new one, though, is discounted for PlayStation Plus.
Okay.
There you go. Also, folks, Alice Madness Returns. There's some downloadable content for that, as well as all the usual stuff. Now, and there's also God's Eater Burst DLC, if you are a PSP fan.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Now, I have a favorite moment on Podcast Beyond. I actually do. It's probably my favorite time. My favorite time on Podcast Beyond is to talk about the minis that came out this week.
Mr. and Mrs. Jeff Rubenstein cranking these
guys
out.
Now, I actually already knew one of them, but didn't know the full name when Nix told me about it. And seeing the full name, especially at the end of this list, truly an extraordinary event. Gentlemen, do you know what's coming here? Have you seen this list?
I don't know what
I have, yes, but I won't spoil it.
Okay, thank you. You admit this is a particularly good collection this week,
absolutely.
Right? All right. Gentlemen, I'm going to present to you with the... Scott Lowe, you have to pay attention to this shit.
I'm sorry.
Right?
I got...
okay, God damn it. The man doesn't have any respect.
He doesn't care about Podcast Beyond.
I don't care about minis.
What about funny mini names and titles?
Yeah. No, it's just the names that
you
grab you.
You got my complete undivided attention.
Here we go. First of all, Run Ghost Run for $2.99.
Of course.
Good start. All right. Next, we have Babel, the King of the Blocks.
Is that based on the Brad Pitt movie?
Yes.
Probably. And it's the King of the Blocks. And then the final mini that we have today, all right, is the 2D Adventures of Rotating Octopus Character.
Really?
Yeah, and I looked it up to make sure it was a real game, and it is a real game.
That's fantastic.
I'm going to buy that when we get downstairs. Yeah. So I'll buy that.
The 2D Adventures of Rotating Octopus
Character. That's pretty
awesome. For $3.99.
I looked it up. I Googled it. I'm like, this has to be an accident. Like, they just forgot. They put a placeholder in, and they had no idea what the name of the game was.
That's
but
awesome.
That was, in fact,
well
the name
done,
of the game.
Jeff Rubenstein. That's my favorite. Scott Lowe.
What's up?
Our ship writes in with another question, and I think you might have the answer. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, ladies and gentlemen, write into beyond@ign.com.
Indeed.
What do you think will be the battery life of the PS Vita?
Oh, man, that's a big question right now. I mean, by traditional standards, OLED screens are actually more energy efficient than standard LCDs. But it's also packing some serious processors that have not been seen in any other devices, like mobile devices today. So...
1 hour.
I'm expecting it to be... I don't think it'll be as bad as the 3DS, but it's...
Which is an hour and a half?
It's like anywhere between 4 to 6.
Okay.
So I'm assuming it'll be I would bet probably 6 or 7 hours.
All right.
You know what? I honestly don't see the... This is going to make me an enemy to a lot of Podcast Beyond fans, but if it had a 3 to 4 hour life, I'd totally think that was fine.
No, unacceptable. I need to be able to fly cross country with it. That's all I ask.
Well, the one thing I will say is that we haven't.
Don't do that phrase to me, Collins.
They haven't talked about the battery at all. And, like, given the units that we tested and felt out, like, they were all wired, so, like, they may not even have had batteries in them at all. So the actual weight of the unit is hard to determine, but. They could have, like, a huge battery that they're going to put in there.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, if they're smart, like, because, I mean, this isn't, like, an uber-portable device anyway. So, I mean, yeah. They should just throw the biggest battery they can in there and, like, give people the battery life. Because you're going to be carrying it on a bag anyways.
That's the thing about it, right, is that you can't slip in your pocket.
Yeah.
So at what point does Sony have to say that, you know, it's not so much a handheld as it is a different console.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of console experience.
Yeah. Because
that's what they're doing so far, right, with these games and stuff.
You can still take it with you, though. I mean, they'll be nice cases and stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, none of that's going to fit in your pocket. Right. You're going to have to get one of the belt ones, like a holster.
I'm just picturing Kaz, like, coming on stage during, like, the Tokyo Game Show or something. And he's like, introducing the Vita battery. And he, like, takes it on. And he's like, depleted uranium powers this new device. It's, like, pulsing with light.
With 30,000 years of energy.
A lot of people wrote in with quick fire questions.
Okay.
They know that that's how we got to go after the E3s. Greg writes in, not me. Mm. I swear to God.
You wrote in these questions.
I did not write in. Jeez Louise. Ryan.
Yeah.
Is it true you got a tattoo? If so, what?
Yes. I have a string of text along my right bicep. By the way, I just found out recently it's not bicep with a T on the end.
No,
I always thought it was.
Bicep.
Always thought it was for my whole life. Bicep. Yeah. That sounds weird to me.
Okay.
And it is actually a Dissidio reference on my arm.
What does it say?
It says, "The messenger is standing at the gate."
And it's a lyric from the
It's
song.
A lyric from one of the last battle suites in Dissidio.
Scott Lowe.
So,
if you had to review the PS Vita right now, off of what you've seen, what would you give it, and is it better than a 3DS?
Given what I've seen, I'm thinking 9.
Wow. All right. I like that.
I think it's a solid device, man. Like it's the definitive gamer's handheld.
Ooh, look at that. All right.
From what I've seen so far.
I'm going to send Sony this. They can clip out that.
Is it better? Is it better than the 3DS?
Oh, the 3DS is a piece of shit.
7.5 IGN?
I'm sorry. It is a device that's like two gens behind, and it's got a 3D fucking gimmick no one cares about. And a 5 hour battery life.
Sounds about right.
Sounds pretty sweet.
What did you rate it on IGN.com?
I can't remember.
7.5, I think.
Seven
or 7.5.
Yeah, something like that. But I mean, I don't know. I think it's a cool idea, executed poorly. I think it could be so much more.
Okay.
And I'm a little more furious about it now than I was when I reviewed it because I was expecting to see more games. But since there aren't,
yeah,
it's a piece of shit.
There you go,
Colin.
Yes.
What do you feel about the PlayStation 3D monitor thing at Sony's E3 conference? I feel like there was no love given to it and quickly forgotten by most people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a nice idea if you care. I mean, I still stand by the fact that no one cares about, or very few people really care about 3D enough to want to talk about this thing. I mean, it's great that it's affordable. That TV's really small.
If no one's caught up, yeah, there's like a 28-inch?
24-inch.
24-inch TV that does the HDs. And then on top of that, it does 3D split screen where I wouldn't see your screen at all. And with that, when they said this in the conference, I said, I have no idea what the fuck that means. And when I finally saw it, what it means is that the two images are layered on top of each other. They're both full screen.
Yep.
And if you're looking at it, you have no idea what's happening. But you put on the glasses and you switch between player one, player two. And then you just see like you playing Wipeout.
That's actually really cool.
It's a really cool tech, but it was really poorly presented when they talked about it.
It's cool. Yeah. But like Scott said, 3D is a gimmick and I'm tired of it.
Well, I think, for people who want to do it, I mean, that's awesome. Like, I think it's a really cheap TV. It's a little smaller than most people want, but like they were really gunning home the kind of college dorm
totally.
Room thing. If you actually were at the event, the demo station they had was actually themed like a dorm room. There's like like beer pong tables and like a keg and like
I don't remember that part.
Oh yeah,
I walked by it.
Yeah, that's why I used it. I just didn't take in the keg.
It was like they were really driving that point home. But I mean, it's super affordable. You get a copy of Resistance 3, you get an HDMI cable and one pair of glasses, I think. And the other set of glasses is like are $60.
That's the other thing. Yeah, they lowered the price of the glasses.
Yeah, which is that's. I mean,
appreciate them trying to make it affordable because that's why we're all like, well, no, I don't want to buy for that stuff. But my whole thing is like, I look at my TV and I'm like, I have like a 48-inch and I'm like, man, I could go for like a 50, 60. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go bigger. I don't care about 3D. I just want a bigger TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Greg, do you think Soundshapes will be downloadable only? If so, what price? No, I don't think it'll be downloadable only. I think it's a game that's got a lot of buzz behind it, and I think they're trying to push this new little format and stuff. Plus, everything that's going to be on the little memory cards is also going to be downloadable, correct? This is what they've said?
It's proprietary format and downloadable.
What's wrong? Why didn't you just tell me to turn it in?
That would be funnier if I did it.
Just reached in your face.
You scared me. So has no one heard me the entire show?
No, everybody's heard
you. Everyone in the room, will you buy a PS Vita day one? I'm looking forward to buying it day one myself, says Greg, not me.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. I would, except I always have the paranoia of like one of the models having some sort of weird malfunction in it, or like a, you know, recall.
Dead pixels. There was dead pixels in the original.
You know, I'm not saying that's likely. I'm paranoid about it. I figured I'd wait just a little bit to see how.
How long are you going to wait?
Not long. As like, as soon as
weeks or months.
Oh, I probably not months. I kind of just want to see like the general reaction of like people seeing how they're.
We're gonna, okay. I mean, I assume we're gonna get them early though, a couple units or whatever. Yeah. So you'll be able to play with them. No,
it's always touch and go. We didn't get many PSP Go's, I remember, before that launch.
That's true, but we did get the Move really early.
Yeah.
Well, if you tell Sony that I just called it the definitive gamer's handheld.
Listen, everybody, we're prepared to take this asterisk off of this quote.
What I'm going to say is we should get some units early because we have to review the game, so you'll probably just get a taste of what the launch
Yeah, we thought that about the 3DS, too, and that didn't work out.
Yeah, but Sony's generally better than Nintendo about sharing stuff early.
Yeah.
We had Infamous, like, how much early?
Really early.
3 weeks?
Well, all right, hold on. Dude, I want to say this before we go much further. I know I'm going to get a bunch of fanboy hate from the 3DS comment. It is not a piece of shit. It's a cool handheld. It's just, I think the Vita is going to be a lot better.
I'm pretty sure that on the IGN scale, 7 to 7.5 is piece of shit.
Yeah. I was excited about it at the time, but the more I see a Vita, the more I think Nintendo has no chance. Because wait until consumers figure that out. It's like, I could pay $250 for this 3D thing, or I can get this thing, which has internet access, apps, games, you know, web browser.
Games, that's the big thing.
Yeah, the
games.
Big thing, games, more games. Specifically, you know.
The thing it was designed
You don't
for.
Want N64 ports?
Calling it right now, though, the 3DS will get a price drop within 6 months of the Vita launch.
What about before the Vita launch?
I mean, I think that's possible, but at the very least, or the very latest, within 6 months of the Vita launch.
Miles writes in and says, "Hey guys, what was the most interesting thing that happened to you at E3? It doesn't have to be game related at all." I'll go first since I had time to think about mine ahead of time. Mm. I've never rage quit a demo before.
Oh, yes. I love this story.
I have never rage quit a demo before, but I tried to rage quit a demo for Michael Phelps' Push the Limit, a Kinect game. Now, this story is very visual, ladies and gentlemen, so I'll do my best to tell you as I can. I get up there, and then I see on my preview list, I got a preview, Michael Phelps' Push Limit. I'm like, no problem. Go to the 505 Games booth. They got a little room in there. I see some other Kinect stuff, see the MMA Supremacies. And then I get over to the Michael Phelps booth, and people are there. They're doing these guys are swimming. They're racing each other, and they're sitting there in front of the Kinect doing the swimming motion. I'm like,
breaststroke motion.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, but okay, I got to play it, obviously. So I stand up there, and they're like, all right, first here before the race, you know, Michael Phelps, he pumps up the crowd. He waves his arms up and down in the air. I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. No problem. And they're like, do it. So I start doing it, and this gives you a stamina boost, which I like the idea. Like, you have a little bit more energy if you do it appropriately and keep up their thing. But as I'm doing and basically all I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, is palms to the sky, lifting them back and forth, yes, right, like this.
Raising them up.
Yeah. I'm doing that, and Michael Phelps, the character on screen, the torso is like it's a statue. The torso is just a statue, and then it's got stretched arms. Strong arms on it, and the arms are just going wacky, wavy, inflatable tube man all over the screen. Like, he's breaking his elbow while he's doing this, and it's going all over. And I'm like, well, it's a nice idea, but whatever. And then it's like, just bend over and touch your toes, and then extend your arms to jump off the thing. And I do that, no sweat, and I swear to God, people, my freaking swimmer hits the water, and he is just frozen in place, just gliding it. Literally, I mean, just like. That's his progress. I'm swimming my own. And, like, there's this meter. No one really explained the game, how to play it beforehand, but I'm like, how hard is it going to be to swim? And there's this little meter with this, the triangle bouncing back and forth, and you got to keep it in the sweet spot or whatever. And I'm going, and the needle just gets buried to one side. It's not even coming back to the sweet spot. So I'm swimming, and it's saying, too slow, too slow. So I'm going faster and faster, and it says, too slow, too slow. And my dumb character is just stuck in the water, gliding. and barely gliding. And I'm swimming. I'm changing up my strokes. I'm doing this. They're like, oh, I think the demo guy's like, I think you need to, you know, you're just moving your hands right now. Move your arms more. So I'm like full on swimming, like nothing, no response. So I just step back and I go, all right, I'm done. And I look at them and they look at me and I'm like, and I was racing someone, by the way. Someone next to me had already completed the race. My character can't even get to the end of the first run. And I just go, is there any way to quit? Can I stop? And they're like, no. I'm like, oh, God. So I go back to the swimming. I finally get them turned around. Like, it was awful. It was so bad. And I tried to quit the demo, and they wouldn't let me quit pretty much because they didn't know how to do it.
Kinect, technological marvel.
Man, fuck Kinect.
I love it. Kinect is really, like, everything I've seen on the Kinect is just...
Besides dancing.
Wipeout, I'm going to review.
Oh, my God.
Probably actually next week.
Some of the games I saw on Kinect are just embarrassing. Like, some like the games I went to see, like, I don't want to say which ones, but the Kinect games I went to see...
Why can't you say them? Are you under embargo?
I don't even remember the specific names of them. They were just so stupid. You know what I mean? Like some of them worked fine or whatever, but it's just like one of them was like, you know, the guys were very nice and stuff, but one of them was like a game where shapes appear on the screen and you have to just manipulate your body in order to fit into the shape. That was
That's the game show. Getting the whole game show.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Are you talking about the Tetris-like game, like where you have to
bend your body.
I don't understand. Like, who's gonna like? I was thinking about. It. I'm like, all right, that's cool, but like, and it works, but like, who's gonna buy that? Who's gonna buy that game? There's no ideas on for Kinect or whatever. But I will say the best moment for me was demoing the Hulk Hogan Kinect.
Oh, yeah.
That's that game didn't work very well either, but that was certainly one of the most surreal moments of my life.
Just speaking with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, it was awesome. He's like, where are you from, brother? I'm like, Long Island, New York. He's like, I used to wrestle at the Nassau Coliseum. I'm like, that's where the Islanders play. And then we started doing our little thing. Yeah, it was good.
That's amazing.
Fun.
I would like to say that I wonder if I can talk about this. I think I can. Yes, I can. I'm sure I can. I didn't sign anything. So I had the... I'm an acquaintance with Jenova Chen, who is the developer. He's one of the directors of co-founders of that game company. And so they're working on Journey right now. Beautiful game,
looks
by the
great.
Way. Very excited.
He was watching
about
Greg
that
and
game.
I play.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Very
we
cool.
We kept going, where are the trophies? Sucks, man. I want to shoot something. Ain't no goddamn sand snakes for me to shoot.
So anyway, I'm talking to Jenova, and it's just he's really great. He's one of my favorite developers to talk to just because he's a very smart guy, but he's also really open to just talking about his game. And he asks me like what I think honestly, and I feel very comfortable. I would totally tell him if I didn't think something was good. But anyway, I speak with him a little bit. We're having a nice talk, and then I'm exiting the booth, and he comes running up behind me. He's like, oh, hold on, wait. My friend from China is doing a documentary on the video game industry here and also my development cycle with this game. Would you be willing to talk with her? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, why not? So I turned around, and it's this woman from the like second largest news like station in China. And she has a camera crew with her, so I'm basically interviewed for this Chinese news station. This is like massive program documentary thing, and she was like talking to me like, I mean, it was hilarious because I was like, I'm just like this random journalist from IGN. Don't you know, take everything I say with a grain of salt. But it was a very cool experience. I felt I was finally the one in front of the camera being interviewed, not the one doing the interviews.
Oh.
See,
touche.
Scotty Lowe, E3 moment.
Man, I was drunk through the entirety of E3, so I don't remember a whole lot. I think overall, I actually got a chance to see games this year, so which that was probably my biggest thing, because I'm always about the hardware, so like, you know, I'm really psyched with everything I saw, so I don't know. It must be like, you know, fine for you guys, because you guys see it all the time, but like, for me, it was just really exciting to see games and get to... You know, play ones behind closed doors and shit like that.
I'm always excited. Okay. Also, Bioshock
Tomb Raider,
Infinite
really excited.
Yeah, Tomb Raider looks great.
That game
I can't wait.
Looks amazing.
Yep, and Bioshock Infinite.
Of course.
And
I
Battlefield 3.
I definitely play that.
Oh, Batman. Real quick, by the way, biggest surprise of E3, Blood Rain Betrayal.
I never got
Skull Girls,
to see it.
Bro.
Directed by Uwe Boll.
Yes.
Way forward.
It's a 2D, it's a way forward game. It's a 2D side-scrolling action game. It's like Castlevania meets Moondiver. It's
Moondiver.
Pretty cool.
Adam writes into beyond@ign.com. He says, Colin, which name is worse, Wii U or PlayStation Vita?
Oh, Wii U.
Yeah, oh, totally.
That's not even close.
Though I think we're all tainted now because we had that awesome conversation with Yoshida-san about like the meaning behind Vita, and like what it meant for them.
Life force.
So I don't think Vita is a strong name at all, but I think Wii U is. I think Wii U, like I said when they announced the name, I'm like, I think I tweeted it. Like Nintendo was like, what is the worst name we can name this new console? And then they went ahead and named it Wii U.
Ryan?
Yes?
Which Xbox exclusive shown at E3 would you like to come to PlayStation?
What are some Xbox exclusives?
Says it all.
The funny thing is that I'm actually not joking. I was kind of in a bubble at E3 doing my own assignments, so I didn't.
It's Halo Anniversary, Halo 4, Gears of War 3.
I think it was Forza,
right. Yeah, but I mean, you got.
I am actually probably the biggest Halo fan among all of us here, right? No one else likes Halo, right?
I like Halo.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I don't care.
But would you consider yourself a pretty devout fan? Because I am a pretty...
Of the story or the multiplayer?
Everything?
Oh. I'm a bigger fan of the story than I am the multiplayer.
Okay. Anyway, I am a big Halo fan, so I will totally... I love the Halo games, but I don't think they really are ever going to end up on the PlayStation, though, so...
Obviously not.
I'm not going to ask them to do that.
All right. We got to wrap this one up.
Yeah, it's getting late. That's okay.
It's a fatty podcast.
We're fine.
Carl writes in with quick fire questions. Greg, Mod Nation Racers, PlayStation Vita, or Little Big Planet, PlayStation Vita? Little Big Planet, PlayStation Vita. Mod Nation Racers is extremely cool, though. Somebody else wrote in, and I'm not going to get to the question. They asked, does it control like shit like it did on the PSP version? No, this is literally the PlayStation controls, PlayStation 3 controls copied over. It's going to be great. Ryan.
Yeah.
I'm pointing at Colin when I said this question, but Ryan.
Yes.
Final Fantasy X1112 or Mirror's Edge 2?
Mirror's Edge 2.
Colin, trophies or orange juice?
That's trophies.
A tough one.
Sacrifice your health.
Scott.
Yep.
Sony's press conference or Nintendo's press conference?
Sony.
Everyone, Uncharted 3 or PlayStation Vita?
Vita. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
That says something about what I just did it off the cuff there.
You did. You did good. Yeah, you did.
You can have Uncharted on the Vita.
Whoa. I love the Uncharted series, but I think I'm just more excited for Vita right now.
Yeah, me too.
I think I'll go Uncharted 3. I'll be the dissenter. I'm excited for Uncharted 3. I mean, the problem is I'm excited for both.
Yeah,
they're both
going
to be great. I think Uncharted... Here's the problem, I think, with Uncharted right now, especially coming out of E3 and what kind of buzz it had, right, is just the fact that everyone knew coming in Uncharted's going to be Uncharted, which means it's going to be awesome, which means I'm going to buy it and play it, which means I like it. You know what I mean? Like, not many people came away from the demos being like, oh, my God. You know, Uncharted 3 was amazing. It was like, oh, Uncharted 3 looks amazing, which is what we expect. Great. Yeah. But have you seen this over here? Which brings me to Connor's question. Connor says, could you guys explain how the best of E3 awards are decided? I noticed Uncharted is better than Bioshock on PS3, but also worse than Bioshock overall. Will these lists ever make sense? I doubt it.
We just drink a whole lot and then make a list.
Yeah, Connor. Yeah. I think you hit it on the head. I think they don't make all that much sense, really, because we see a demo for 2 seconds, and the fact that you get nominated, I think, means more than anything else, right?
Yeah.
Like, the reason I think you see... I'll tell you, I'm a man of my word. I voted Bioshock down the line. I didn't deviate based on platforms or anything like that, but I think a lot of people do get to platforms, and they're like, well, what did I see the Bioshock demo running on? I liked Uncharted a lot. When you say, what's the best PS3 game, that's when people start thinking, I should pick an exclusive because it's a PS3. But yeah, sure. Nobody picked that.
I did.
I heard it got negative votes. and the way we vote is that, you know, we all nominate stuff throughout the week, and then that gets vetted. If it gets enough nominations, gets put on a list, and then we all voted in a poll system we had, and then the winners were picked that way.
Yep.
So yeah,
it's democracy in action.
MDog 2438, one of the people who bought the shirts back in the day. Me and Colin did predictions. I guess you weren't on this episode, Ryan, but we did predictions for E3. He came in with the winners and who got the most points. Colin's predictions were, number one, that the NGP would be named the PSP2. That prediction was incorrect. You get 0 points. Colin's next prediction was Kevin Butler will be at the Sony conference. Incorrect. No points. Your final prediction was that a bunch of PS3 remaster collections would be revealed. Only one was revealed, being God of War Origins, and half a point is awarded. I'm being slightly generous, as you had no
points. I said PS3 collections, right? Oh, I guess I was. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. I was going to say those were PSP games, technically.
But they can't. You're coming.
Right.
Greg's predictions, the price and release date will be revealed for the PS Vita. That was only partially correct. I get half a point. His second prediction was that Kevin Butler would not make an appearance. I get the full point. And my final prediction was that a lot of announcement trailers would be shown. There were only 4 or 5 by MDog2438's point count. So I get 1 point over there. Final score, Greg... 2.5, Colin, 0.5.
Jeez.
You got pwned.
That was bad, yeah. That was pretty bad.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, please be parts of our shows. We love you so much. Write in beyond@IGN.com. Follow us on the Twitter, IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Scott Lowe is Scott Lowe now?
Yeah.
You finally got this
yeah,
fixed?
Yeah, so thank you, Beyond Community, for harassing the twitter.com/slowguy, Scott Lowe guy, to give it over. So.
And Ryan Clements is Quam Cider.
One day, man, I'm going to get that Twitter name.
You're trying on that, too. Everybody's trying to sell out their Twitter name now.
I've called Denmark like 3 times to try and get this guy's Twitter name. I still can't get it.
Yeah.
He doesn't tweet. It's a waste.
Yet, right?
Yeah. What a waste. No, I haven't talked to him yet. I'm sure. I feel like he might give it to me. He seems like a nice guy. His profile picture looks like a charming man.
When was the last time he updated?
In May sometime, like middle of May.
There's a system. Like actually, Twitter will like take his account offline after, like, if you make a request and he doesn't use it for 6 months.
Oh.
Okay.
We should do that for Mrs. Slime. Or Mrs. Lime. Mrs. Lime.
So tell me more of this system.
I will tell you
off the air, everybody. Before we go, remember, Infamous 2 SpoilerCast is being recorded next Monday. So please get your questions in ahead of time. And remember that Podcast Beyond 200 will be live in San Francisco on August 4th. It's a Thursday. Don't book flights yet, but figure out if you can come. Next week we'll have details on how you can enter to come. And we'll go from there. Ryan Clements.
Hey, buddy.
Take me home.
It's a really special day today. We've had a lot of good luck with songs.
Yeah.
I want about 45 seconds to do this. Is that cool?
I can only give you 30, and you're already eating it up right now.
All right. So Danny W.
20.
Shut the fuck up. Danny contacted me once again. If you all know Danny from the amazing two-player co-op song that we debuted on Podcast Beyond quite some time ago.
Yeah.
But are you timing me? Is that
no,
what you're doing?
No, I'm not. I'm checking my email while I listen.
All right, because I'll get nervous.
Don't be nervous.
So Danny is providing us with another song for today. It's a little bit of a parody, which you will find out soon in a second, but it is called Game Girl. And Danny has a few announcements to make regarding this whole spiel. First, Game Girl will be up on iTunes in 1 to 3 days. So if you guys do like the parody, and I am a big fan, check it out. If you also want some more updates from Danny, because his music is totally awesome and you should, go to facebook.com/TUA News. T-U-A News. Easy stuff. Also, you know how Danny and his girlfriend Tori, they started dating around the time that the two-player co-ops happened? The song features the two of them. It's all very cute. It was Tori's 23rd birthday on the 10th of June. So happy birthday to her. A little belated, but still good. And also, the big news is that these two lovely people are getting married on the 2nd of July. So I think that all the Beyond folks should go to facebook.com/TUA News.
If we get invited, are we going?
Isn't it a little too late for that? We're coming up here. That's like next month in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so.
Also, isn't that during Comic-Con? No, wait.
That's end of July.
Yes, that's end of July. Anyway. I kind of feel like it might just be family for that one.
Hard to believe we got snubbed. Kind of got them together. We're the whole reason they got together.
Everyone should check out Danny's song and wish both Danny and Tori a good married life, because they are totally awesome.
Happy marriage.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And the last big announcement is that we are debuting what I think is Danny's finest work on Podcast Beyond episode 200.
Oh, teasers.
We're going to be showing off, I think, his the song is just incredible. It gets me all
only
nostalgic.
7 weeks to go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. 7 weeks. All is right. that's what it is, huh? Anyway, thank you, Danny. This is Game Girl. This has been Podcast Beyond. And
that's it?
And that's it. Beyond!
I came to play, yeah, our quarter's up, now what you say, that's why we're here at this arcade, yeah. Girl, you and me, we'll put them away, wait, yeah, yo, when my baby comes along, well, then it's on like Donkey Kong. Here with you.
let's take it home, 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 home. Jump onto our favorite console, soul, soul, soul. Don't be expecting my game to go, 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 go. Easy on you just cause you're a boy, 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 boy. Yeah, yeah. And so we crowd our big TV to get some friendly rides.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode, so search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.